I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 107 of Season 6 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Dana Nachman, award-winning documentary director, producer, writer, everything, all wrapped in one. Welcome back, Dana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you decided you wanted to come back today.
It's always fun.
Yes, that I agree. I definitely agree. So minute 107 begins with the man checking the tree thoroughly and ends with Clarence settling down on a stool. So we ended things yesterday with George walking down the street with Clarence, trying to remember where his car is. And then they come up to the tree, which he had run into last week. And he's a little surprised that the car's not there, and basically says, "Oh well, maybe someone towed it away or took it away, drove it away, whatever it is." And then the owner of the house is walking by, and George asks him, "Where's my car?" And the guy has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. And then he says, "Well, I ran my car into this tree. And so the guy starts checking the tree, and he doesn't see anything. And then George starts this minute as this guy is looking around the tree, and he goes, "Cut a big gash in the side of it there." And I love the way that, like, George is babbling here, and then the man, as he's checking the tree, and then he, like, stands up, and then he gets close to George, and you can actually see that he's like sniffing George.
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes, "You must mean the two other trees. You had me worried." So
yeah.
You know, he's obviously referring to the fact that George must be drunk, that he's completely just imagining things or whatever it is. You know, but I right. actually like the fact that he says, that you're basically seeing double. Do you know what the technical term is for somebody who sees double?
No.
Like double vision. It's known as diplopia.
Oh.
Okay, so diplopia is a simultaneous perception of two images of a single object that may be displaced horizontally or vertically in relation to each other. It's also known as double vision, and it is a loss of visual focus under regular conditions and is often voluntary. However, when occurring involuntary, it results in impaired function of the extraocular muscles, where both eyes are still functional, but they cannot turn to target the desired object. There's a whole list here of medical issues that could cause it. Some of the ones, Lyme disease can cause it, migraines, multiple sclerosis. What else is here? Something known as sagging eye syndrome. It lists here opioids, opia. So,
yeah, right.
botulism, brain tumors, cannabis, cancer. So, I love how in this list that I found on Wikipedia, it mentions real medical diseases, and it also mentions, reasons that somebody would be impaired due to substances.
Did it say alcohol at the beginning?
Nope, it doesn't mention alcohol actually. But the fact that it's talking about the fact that it says cannabis and it brings up opioids and stuff like drunkenness. There you go. It doesn't say alcohol. It says drunkenness. So yeah, that's part of it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. Probably the most common.
I don't that I don't know. It doesn't list them in order of occurrences or anything like that. But I you know what's really interesting is sometimes I can those pictures that you have to look at really hard and you have to like unfocus your eyes in order to be able to see the 3D image on that's happening on them or something like that.
Yeah.
So basically that's what you're doing. You're crossing your
Oh,
eyes
yeah.
in a way so that you can actually have double vision in order to see it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
True.
I mean, like my wife can never see those. It doesn't matter how much she'll stare at one of those things, she can't unfocus her eyes in order to see it. Now I just look at it, and within a few seconds, I can usually do that. So I always remember the Seinfeld episode where Mr. Pitt is trying to, Elaine's boss is trying to figure out a picture like that, and he gets so cross-eyed that he gets really, really confused. And I'm pretty sure that that's the same episode where like a pen breaks, and then he gets like ink on his face, and then at the end of the episode they make him look like Hitler with the way that he's
Oh.
talking to like a board meeting or something like that. So,
Yeah.
and it's all because he was looking at one of those 3D pictures. So,
That's funny.
yeah. And I mean, last week this guy talked about the fact that this tree is one of the oldest trees in Bedford Falls. That his great grandfather planted it, and we figured out
Yeah.
that it means approximately. I mean, this is 1945, so a guesstimation is that his great grandfather probably planted it around 1800, 1815, something like that. And that's going on the basis that everyone had children at the age of 20. So it is possible that it's even earlier than that. Who knows? But here he says something different. He goes, one of the oldest trees in Pottersville. So this is actually the first time that we get to hear Pottersville, which is
I liked that that's how they wrote that in. I thought that was a cool way to introduce it.
just to have this guy state as opposed to saying Bedford
Seeing the
Falls, he just
sign.
says, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. As a director and a writer, you think that that's the way to do it. You just throw it in casual conversation.
I mean, I liked it there a lot. Like, it occurred to me it was a good way to introduce it. It was a little more sophisticated than showing a sign. I mean, sometimes, there's a constantly you're thinking when you're writing, like, show, don't tell, which this is more telling than showing. But I still think it was a little more clever than just showing a sign.
Well, Capra was known in this movie, especially as showing is more than telling, because I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in this movie that if you're not paying attention, you won't even notice them. Even going all the way back, I mean, we talked about this months ago, but just the fact that Mr. Gower's son, with the telegram, we get to see the telegram. No one has to mention it. You have to be looking at the screen and reading the telegram in order to know that his son died of influenza, during COVID 1.0, 100 years ago during the
Do they
Spanish
not
flu.
ever say it?
No,
I
they
can't
say that he
remember.
died. No,
After?
the
Oh.
telegram says that he died of influenza, and it's
Right.
dated 1919. So it's
Yeah.
no, but no one states it that that your son died of influenza or anything like that.
Yeah.
George says, "I know you're sad." That's all he says.
Yeah, I love that.
Now, I decided to look up if there's actually any places that are really called Pottersville. Do you think there are, or do you think it's just the name that they made up here?
I think I don't know. I think there probably are. But maybe they also made it up. I don't know.
So yes, there are. There is a Pottersville, Indiana. There is a Pottersville, New Jersey. There is what's really interesting. There is a Pottersville, New York,
Huh.
which is a hamlet in the town of Chester.
Oh.
So I don't know if that is around where this movie is supposed to be taking place, but I just thought it was very interesting that the term Pottersville basically means it's a rental slum.
Oh,
That it's
That's
like
funny.
it's a term you know, this movie created that term, that if someone wants to refer to rental slums, they can just call it a Pottersville.
That's funny.
You know, after the way that this movie does it. So
Huh,
I
nice.
thought that's great. I always love it when, you know, when life imitates art and art imitates life, you know, you get it both ways and stuff like that.
Yes, for sure.
You know, nowadays you
Cool.
see it more with technology. You know, you see things that in movies, even movies from decades ago, you know, science fiction things, where you see things back then, and then that helped, you know, that helped researchers or inventors create things that now work.
Yeah, and we actually the other way around too. We like I think I mentioned the other day. I live in Silicon Valley, and I was at just a little outdoor bar the other day with my husband, and we look across the street, and there's a flying car showroom, and we were laughing that like how many years ago did we watch the Jetsons? And literally, like for I don't know, you could invest in these things. I mean, it's very, very expensive, and there they are. They're like they're. I don't know. I don't think they can be used yet, but you can buy one.
Why would you buy one if you can't use it? Meaning you can just buy one and just have it, you know,
Don't
as a trophy?
know. I didn't look it up yet, but it's in the showroom. I think probably like so. I mean, if you're looking at that and you're going to entertain it, you just want to be the first person in there to get that. You know, you want to be in on the ground floor, I guess, and you have money to burn.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. I actually thought you were going to go with the Back to the Future reference because that fits here with the whole idea
Well,
of
that
Pottersville
too.
and stuff like that. You know, that they all thought that by 2015 there's going to be flying cars.
Exactly. This thing looked more like the Jetsons one, though, in a way. Like, 'cause, I mean, it looked like a little plane rather than like the flying, you know, the actual car in the
Right.
sky. Like, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was funny. I mean, like, you know, I mean, I guess there'll be many more,
Right.
but
I always thought it
before
was
we're
funny
actually
that the
using them.
same people made the Jetsons and the Flintstones. You know, so like let's go, you
Yeah.
know, thousands of years back and let's go into the future and stuff like that also.
Yeah. But that makes sense. Like, 'cause, you know, a lot of times in Hollywood, when you're up for a job or up for a show, people don't really want to take a chance on something that they don't think you could be good at. So I can imagine the team there would be like, look, we're good at the future. We're good at time periods and like, you know, really bringing out these time periods. So I can imagine how like executives would feel more confident signing off on that for a team like that, you
Right,
know?
that's true.
Yeah.
So after this guy says, you know, one of the oldest trees in Pottersville. So George looks at him and goes, "Pottersville? Yeah, you mean Bedford Falls?" And the guy retorts back, "I mean Pottersville. Don't you think I know where I live? What's the matter with you?" So my first question about that comment is that at some point, the you know Potter took over and changed the name of the town to Pottersville, but it would have been Bedford Falls beforehand. So this guy would have known, should have known, that now he's living in Pottersville, but this town used to be known as Bedford Falls. You know, he could
True.
have said, well, you know, it's been 20 years since anyone called it Bedford Falls or something to that effect.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, it's funny. So I grew up in a town that did change its name while I lived there. And we definitely, like, somebody would have, like, so if somebody said, like, it used to be called Port Chester, and then at some point it changed to be called Rybrook. So if somebody said, oh, you know, if the same dialogue happened in our town, and they said, no, this is Portchester, and then somebody would say, no, remember the name changed. Like, you wouldn't just say,
That's
you
right. You wouldn't
know.
just say, "Don't you know where? Don't I know where I live?" I
Yeah, exactly.
live in Portchester. Why would you think that I would live anywhere else? No, it's just, yeah. So it's
Yeah, it
again,
makes you
it's
feel like it happened lot like so long before that this guy was alive.
exactly.
But
Well, it's possible that it, so if George wasn't born in 1907, and I mean the first time we saw Potter was in 1919, and he was already big man on campus, I guess. So let's give him 10 years before that. So George not having been around wouldn't have affected that because, you know, you still would have Peter running the building and loan.
maybe his dad wasn't around either. That's why he wasn't around.
No, but why would his dad not be around?
Right.
No, the idea is that no, his dad had to be around because we know that you know that his brother was born. You know, Harry Bailey was still born and he died. You know, we'll find that out later. So Peter Bailey had to be around at least for that. You know, in order to conceive Harry. But I don't know. You're right. Maybe he died earlier. Maybe he was so heartbroken over the fact that they only had one son. I don't know. I mean, there's so many different, you can take this in so many different directions with that.
Yeah, and it's not really the point.
No, not at all.
The point was that he's not alive.
Right.
You know, like not his father and his brother, you know.
Correct. So again, it doesn't make sense that this guy, you know, especially if this is a guy whose family has been in this area for over 100 years, he would have known that's that true. It used to be called Bedford Falls.
Right.
Because again,
it didn't work in the dialogue.
No, it doesn't work well enough from that perspective. You know, I think it would have been better if he would have said, "Well, it hasn't been Bedford Falls in 30 years," and that would have been it. You know.
Yeah.
And then they would have given us at least some sort of timestamp, like in Back to the Future, as to where things skewed. You know, we would know around what year Potter took control. But you know, I don't think Capper cared about that. Capper just said, you know what?
Well, also maybe that felt a little like giving too much information to the audience. Like, because then it's so hitting the nail on the head to be like 30 years ago, like however old he is, right? If you were never born.
Right.
Maybe he should felt that was too neat and tidy. Mm-hmm. So maybe just less is more. Like just, you know, maybe he just shouldn't have been so emphatic about it.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. I think you're right about that. It's just it's not necessary. You know, it's not again, yeah. It's not Back to the Future where for the plot you do need to know what date it is in order to be able to travel in time to go to that date. You know, if that wouldn't have been mentioned, that would have been a little more problematic. You know, trying to figure out you know, okay, when did this happen? So okay, I can understand. And then so the guy says to him, "What's the matter with you?" And George retorts back and goes, "What's the matter with me? Well, I guess I just, oh, I don't know. Either I'm off my nut or he is or you are." And the guy just gets up and walks away. You know, he thinks he's just dealing with somebody who's completely drunk. That's more or less what it comes down to. Which you got to give him credit for the fact that he's basically saying, you know what, I don't have to deal with you. I'm just going to walk away.
Yes, totally.
You know, it's best to walk away. And then, you know, Clarence is, once again, we talked about this yesterday, he's loving this. He is just laughing his butt off watching this whole thing. He's so amused that this is all happening.
Yes. Cute.
Yeah. You know, Clarence just says to him, "Well, it isn't me."
Right.
And then George says, "Well, maybe I left the car up at Martini's." "Well, come on, Gabriel." He goes, "Clarence." You know, Gabriel, as we talked about earlier this week when with Father David, when he was on, you know, Gabriel is one of the main angels. So that's why.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's why it's mentioned here. He's just referring to him as, you know, a name that is known to be an angel, I guess you could say. You know, and then we see the two of them start. You know, walking off as Clarence goes, "Clarence," and he goes, "Clarence, Clarence." And then the scene changes and we're outside of Martini's once again.
Yeah.
We're inside. And so we don't really even know the name of the place. It's, you know, I like the way that they don't show it to us. They don't show us that, you know, the name of this new place. We're already back inside.
What do you think about that transition? That's quite the transition. I didn't see that today.
Yeah. First of all, I love the way they did the transition. I think the wipe is just great. You don't think people would do it now because people do things in color? You think that might be part of it? Because in black and white, it works really well.
I don't know why people don't do it now. It's just funny. It's like not – it's just – I guess it's – not considered sophisticated, you know. The thing I think of transitions like that is when you first learn editing software now, you could do so many of them. And, you know, in anybody's first go around, you'll see a lot of transitions like this. and worse.
Wait, so you don't think this is a good transition? Is that what you're saying? Because you said and worse. So
I think it's really good for here, but I think it's jarring in a modern way of filmmaking, you know, a little bit.
Okay.
But I like it for this. It's part of the whole thing that it's black and white, that it's has that transition. I mean, you'll never see anything close to that, right? In any of the Oscar, you know, any of the movies in the age of this caliber.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So it stamps it as the time, you know.
Right.
Maybe it'll have a comeback.
And I like the way that it starts off in a serene shot of the two of them, you know, walking in the snow, and as it goes through, and then we're in this place with a lot of hustle and bustle.
Yeah, I mean, and even that, you know, they might go from like a more similar shot to a similar shot, or you
correct.
Know,
yeah, it's complete opposite.
I mean, this is also, I mean, they all, your eye is like at the same, you know, like look at, that's kind of actually very, very cool, is like if you look at where your eye is on them walking away, and then your eye is in the exact same space at the guy at the piano or whatever,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
You see that? It's exactly the same. You know, your eye doesn't have to move at all.
So, okay. I guess that works from that perspective.
Yeah.
Do you think, before we jump to the bar, do you think that this is a real place? Do you think this is a location shot with the two of them on the street, on the road? Or do you think this is just the soundstage?
I when I was really staring at it yesterday or today, I think it's a soundstage. But I never really thought that when I go and watch the movie just in its entirety. But I don't know. I think it is. I think it's probably a studio lot of some kind. But I'm not positive.
And you're correct. You are correct.
Oh, I am?
Most of the outdoor scenes were done in there's the Archeo Encino Ranch, which is where they're doing all the outdoor shots.
Interesting. Must have been hard to get the snow in.
Well, it's not. It's all fake snow. Come on.
I know.
This is all.
Yeah.
It's like
the air quotes.
That's right. Snow. Well, no one can see you doing that but me.
Oh, sorry.
I saw your air quotes. But no one else can. Okay, so we're back into the into the bar, and you know we saw the bar a little bit last week, where it was nice and calm. You know, besides the fact that George gets into a little bit of a fight, but it's a very serene surrounding. The music is pleasant. And here you get in and it's a big hustle and bustle. You know, you got the guy playing on the piano, like I guess it's a jazz piece. Customers moving back and forth. You know, it's very, very busy. And you know, then we see that George and Clarence have shown up in this place. You also can see a lot of people are smoking and drinking. I don't think that people are really gambling here, but you know, it's not a clean bar like it was last week. You can see that this is a more seedy type of place than what we saw.
Yeah.
And as they're walking in, George says, "That's all right, go on in. Martini's a friend of mine. There's a place to sit down. Sit down." So he tells Clarence where to go, and Clarence is really, really happy here. You know, he's ecstatic. You know, because I guess it's been hundreds of years since he's been in a bar. So why not?
Right, and he likes to drink.
Clarence, I don't know. We'll talk a little bit about that. I think tomorrow we'll get to the
okay.
You know, we'll get to the point where he doesn't know what he wants to really order. You know, he finally has his opportunity, but you know, that's a spoiler for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this particular minute?
Nope.
All right. So every Thursday we have a segment called Jimmy Stewart Thursday, where my guests will talk about their top five Jimmy Stewart performances. So Dana, what have you got for us?
Well, so I was going through the list, and I just can't remember what I've seen and what I haven't seen. So I'm sure I've seen some of them, but I'm going to say I don't I don't have five because I can't really remember the performances. I did, you know, this is my number one, obviously. I love it. I watch it every year. I did like Shop Around the Corner a lot. Those are the two that I remember the most. And then I don't know if I've seen, I feel like I've seen Rear Window, but I'm going to go back and watch them. And then next year, whatever your thing is, I'll just go back to you. That's my homework. I'm going to watch Vertigo again. I'm sure I watched it. I just don't remember. And Rear Window. And what else might I have missed?
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, maybe.
Oh, I think I did watch that. I think I actually watched it during COVID, but I've got to reacquaint myself.
Ah, okay. All right. That is fair.
What are your top five?
Ah, you have to wait until the final episode this season to hear that. Come on.
Okay.
I can't tell you if I'm not telling everybody else.
Okay.
So you'll have to come back for that. I think every season you ask me that those questions. I think you asked me to spill the beans earlier, but that's all right. All right, great. So would you like to once again tell people where they can find Dana Nachman?
Sure. My website is dananachman.com, NACHMAN. And DANA backwards. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And so find me in any of those places.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. So until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.